The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on the rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Welcome, everyone, to the AEW Wrestle Dream episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with the proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. I am Floyd Johnson, and I'm riding solo. If people follow me on Twitter, and that's at Floyd Johnson Jr., you will know that I've had a very, very busy week. Wednesday, I went from Oklahoma City to Kansas City, drove to watch AEW Dynamite with my friend Daniel Grindle, and then drove back home, and then I flew out Thursday from Minneapolis. I mean, from Oklahoma City to Minneapolis, because I went with my friend Justin to watch Nebraska at Minnesota on Nebraska at Minnesota in college football. And now I am at the airport, which if you hear the volume at the night, if you hear the airport, I am actually at the airport in Minneapolis flying to St. Louis for WrestleDream. In this time, of course, me and Austin have not been able to lock up our schedules, so I decided to do a quick preview of WrestleDream. So I will not hold you long. I'm definitely trying to keep this less than 30 minutes. But make sure you're downloading this fine show on YouTube Music or Apple Podcasts. Please leave a rating and review. If you're so inclined, you can also follow us at AT Elite Pod, at Social Suplex, at Austin Sumowitz, and at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. I also just throw out this always, I use Podcast Republic. That's another good app to use to download and keep track of your apps. All right, so I'm going to jump right into this because I do not have, I'm not in a rush. I'm waiting on my airline, but definitely want to get into the show and get you out of here on this Saturday, October 18th morning. Again, if you hear airline announcements, I apologize. I'm recording at an airport. So, yeah, and it's, 6:20 in the morning, but I definitely wanted to get a show out. First of all, talk about the go-home show from AEW Dynamite. I'm not going to go on long about the show. Three-hour shows are great because I love wrestling, but they're long. And most of the time, tired at the end of the night. I was at the show, and I pretty much was, I was with Daniel, had a great time, got White Castle. We did not get White Castle in Kansas City because there is no White Castle in Kansas City. But we got something to eat. I think we did Subway. And then we got to the show. And it was just like, got on my energy drinks. I'm ready to go. But I was on TV. They caught me on TV. I'm bright yellow Hurt Syndicate shirt. So few people caught me on TV. That's cool. But the big thing is, it's a three-hour show. About the third hour, my friend messages me and says, "You look bored." And I was like, could it be that I've been up since yesterday. You know, I had been up since that. And, you know, we're in a third hour of the show. And I might be a little tired. So I was not bored. I was tired. Not to say this was the greatest episode of Dynamite ever. I didn't really think it was a good episode of Dynamite. But as far as go-home shows, there's just not a lot of excitement. There wasn't a lot of excitement built up. Because, again, I was at the show. So I was having a really good time. I was excited. Everybody seemed into it. But then I have to always contrast that to the at-home experience. And I got home and the podcast I listened to, it just seemed like it was a ho-hum episode of Dynamite. So when it's that, the contrast is that big, I have to lean towards, hey, it was probably just a ho-hum episode of Dynamite. But I will say this, I guess I'm the only person using the term ho-hum. But that being said, I had a really good time. Me and Daniel loved the people I was with. Got to see Liz, my friend Liz. Got to see the same people generally at most shows at all. Could do all my waving and all that stuff. Most importantly, I got to see my friend Rosario Grillo on a dark match against Sydney Akeem. He is the formerly Reggie in WWE and NXT. And that was a fun match, but I was a pleasant surprise to see my friend wrestle. If you don't know about Grillo, he works for AEW, but we met when he was just training at the Nightmare Factory, and he was working as an extra, helping doing lines at meet and greets and stuff. So this person went to All In 2018, basically got inspired, joined Cody's wrestling school, Nightmare Factory Wrestling School, one of the first classes. Then, you know, I think he met his girlfriend there now. Then he got into wrestling, worked as extra in AEW. Now he works for AEW, and now he wrestles for them all the time. So he went from basically an extra to an actual member of AEW. So that's always really cool. It's like, to me, one of the coolest stories. I know there's 100 wrestling stories similar to that. I know no one's story the same, but I'm always impressed by him. Very proud of him, as in, you know, it's always one of those times where I can say hard work pays off, because I know he probably wants to be the world champion right now, but he's working in the industry. He's on TV. He's on ROH. He's, you know, wrestling every week. And I just think, you know, from where he was, that is something to very much be proud of. So happy, so happy for my paisan, because he calls himself the Big Cannoli. Had a really good match. That was really fun. That was actually my highlight of the night, other than FTR coming out and crowds booing them. And it's not that. It's just like in a show where it felt like a lot of people didn't get a lot of reactions. They were getting booed, and and they're in the third hour and they're getting booed hard. And I'm trying to get I'm standing up trying to get the crowd to quiet down. And Cash looks up and he sees me, because I'm in a fucking bright yellow shirt. And you know, he's like, calm them down. I'm like, I'm trying. No, it was a pretty cool moment, but there's this interactions is going to be amazing. And like I said, it was a good show. For me, for the in any audience crowd, I've very rarely, if ever, disappointed. I won't say never disappointed in a live show. I've done a lot of these shows, so maybe I was once and I don't remember. But I'm rarely disappointed when I'm at a live show. I just love wrestling, so I love that live experience. So, we're gonna go into some different stuff as we lead into Wrestle Dream. Slight spoiler. So if you have not watched the CMLL show from last night, you're going to get a spoiler. I can't really tell you how long to skip. But Mercedes did retain her CMLL women's title from Persephone. And then she said she open challenge to any champion to come to wrestle in the world, to come to Wrestle Dream and wrestler. So yeah, that's going to happen. So that has been it. So as we preview the show, I'll give you my guesses. And here we are. This is your AEW Wrestle Dream preview. I'm jumping right in. We're going to start with the Saturday Tailgate Brawl. Starts at 6 p.m. Central, 7 Eastern. Take you on HBO Max. So make sure you're tuning in for that. For right now, we got 4 matches announced for it. I just can't see any being anymore. So let's go in order. We got Eddie Kingston and Hook in action. They have challenged any 2 members of LFI to a tag match. So that's Eddie Kingston and Hook versus LFI. I imagine Eddie Kingston and Hook are going to win this match. I personally would probably give LFI the win because it's just, I feel like they've been taking a lot of losses to Kingston and Hook. So if you actually are trying to make this over a several week feud, it can't just be Kingston and Hook continuing to win. Maybe this leads to Kingston and Hook adding a new member to their group, which I don't know if it's even a group or they're just going to be in a tag team, but it's 2 against 4 right now. So it just seemed like this could lead to something. And I don't even know who the member of the groups would be, but Eddie Kingston and Hook in action. I am going to go with Kingston and Hook as the winner. And I think they'll probably be Sammy staying away. So I think they're going to face Rush and Drulistico. I mean, they could go Drulistico and Beast Mortos, which it could make it, but I think they're going to go Drulistico and Rush. All right. Next match on the Saturday Tailgate Brawl, we have a 4-on-4 match where we got the Conglomeration and Roderick Strong, because Roderick Strong is insistent that he is not conglomerating. So that is going to be Tomohiro Ishii, Orange Cassidy, Kyle O'Reilly, and Roderick Strong versus the Death Riders, which includes Claudio Castagnoli, Will Ojeda, Pac, and Dan Garcia. Going with the Death Riders. I mean, yeah, I'm just going with the Death Riders. I have been long that Roderick Strong's going to quote-unquote turn on Kyle O'Reilly, which I don't know how much of a turn it would be, because he's been very clear that he's not in the conglomeration. He just happens to be friends with Kyle. So I could see that with Marina being in the Death Riders for a long time. And it's just wrestling style and attitude. I have long thought Roderick Strong was more in line with the Death Riders logic than he was with the conglomeration. The only thing that might have been holding him back is Kyle. So I could see Roderick Strong joining the Death Riders, not necessarily in that pre-show, but at some point. We then have, in tag action, women's tag action, we have Penelope Ford and Megan Bain, as I call them Mega Bad. I don't know if that name's trademarked, but they should use the name Mega Bad. I just think that's really cool. And they are wrestling Willow Nightingale and Harley Cameron. So I'm of a dilemma in this, because I am a worshiper of the Willow Nightingale. I think she's great. I love me some Harley Cameron. But Willow's got beef with FTR right now, my favorite tag team. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. But in this match, FTR is not in the match. So that makes me happy. So therefore, I can go for Willow and Harley to get the win. But that's who I'm rooting for. But I do think Mega Bat's going to get the win. I see Megan Bain pinning Harley Cameron. But I'm hoping this is setting up a one-on-one match between Willow and Harley for a Dynamite soon. So, yeah, but also, you know, if it goes to my earlier logic, Harley and Willow should win, because Bane and Penelope Ford have pretty much been getting the advantage the whole time. So depends on what they're going to do with the feud, but I am going with Miss Willow Nightingale and Harley Cameron. So that so then we get to my personal main event of the Saturday Tailgate. And the reason I need to make sure I get to the show early, even though I'm flying in today, I don't know what, I have no control over, but that'd be cool. It is FTR versus Jetspeed. So if the name FTR wasn't in this tag match, this would still be my main event. But this is the team I've been most excited about FTR working with. Jetspeed, as far as speed, agility, all that stuff, are the time teams that FTR has the greatest success with. If you think DIY, you think American Alpha, you think the Young Bucks, they have great success with teams that are faster than them, more athletic than them, and they do the slow down pace, the work the limb kind of thing. It's my favorite type of match. So I can imagine them doing that in this match. And I just think Jetspeed, you know, to Floyd's sensibilities, to my sensibilities, they have been built as a tag team the correct way. I know there's no real right way and wrong way in wrestling, but my preferred way is how Jetspeed is. They've lost a lot. They've had challenges. They've lost. They're gelling. They're getting better. You're seeing more tag team moves. And that's because I eventually see them being tag team champions. So now you got FTR and Jet Speed working together. That makes me happy. So let's go. Let's go. I am going with FTR because I do think FTR, the tag title division, needs Brodito actually needs a tag team to challenge with. And I think FTR being the challengers at least teasing as the challengers at Full Gear would be good. Maybe that can lead to Christian and Cope coming back. I don't know. But FTR versus Jet Speed, I'm going with FTR. I am rare to say this, I would not mind if Jet Speed wins. Because like I said, I like how they've been building slowly. But I don't think the next level would be for Jet Speed to go for the tag titles. And I don't think you want to do the face versus face tag team thing. So I'm going with FTR to get the W here to lead to them getting a title shot. All right, we're on to the main card. I am not going in any specific order, so do not take the order that I talk about these things and what I think is important. I'm just literally going how they're listed on the page. First matchup, we got a Tornado Trios tag match, the Demand versus the Hurt Syndicate. You might as well call this a street fight. Honestly, if there's no tag matches, you can pretty much use weapons on the outside. This is the rubber match in the street fight. Of course, I think in this particular case, the Hurt Syndicate's going to win. But I think if you're really trying to build a Demand, which it seems like you're doing, especially by giving them a win over Lashley and Shelton Benjamin, you definitely want to continue with that trend. And you have Ricochet pin MVP. Maybe that leads to MVP saying, you know what, maybe I shouldn't be the third member of the wrestling version of the inside the ring version of Hurt Syndicate. Might end up them adding a new member because, you know, heard rumors online and all that kind of stuff. So speculate that they might want to bring in somebody a little younger, a little more athletic to do most of the wrestling with the Hurt Syndicate, maybe someone to be a pin eater. So, again, it's me. It's Ricochet pinning MVP again. But in this case, I believe the Hurt Syndicate are going to go ahead and win to keep them strong and moving forward. I'm at this point where I want Bobby in the singles division. I do. Like I said, I've heard a lot of political things about who he's willing to win, beat, who's willing to lose to. Do what you have to do to get in on the singles division. I was a big fan of the tag group, but Bobby Lashley needs to be in the singles division. No matter what title he's going out to. And since he is presented as a good guy now, he could be a challenger for Kyle Fletcher. I know he can't say Kyle Fletcher's too small. That dude's jacked. Okada, maybe the next challenger for Hangman. I think there's a lot you can do with Lashley there. But in this match, I'm going with the Hurt Syndicate. Next matchup, Thekla versus Jamie Hayter. Apparently, this match was supposed to happen months ago, but issues with Jamie Hayter kept it from happening. Now we have it. Now, I do feel like it's lost any steam that it might have. I think Thekla has big energy. Jamie's an amazing wrestler. So when it comes down to it, I think they're still going to have a good match. I think the obvious winner here is Thekla. I think Jamie Hayter is great. I think she represents, I think she represents AEW great. But in my personal opinion, I just don't think since she's come back that she's able to get the momentum back before she left. And I do think it might be because of the act that she had before she left was hot and, seemed to have some energy behind it. And right now, her as a single standalone person, I don't think there's a lot of energy around her character right now. Maybe that's the booking, which, maybe it's not her, but, personally, I find it hard for me to care about Jamie Hayter. But Thekla. Is it Thekla or Thekla? I don't know. So you're going to hear me say it both ways, because that way at least half the time I'll be right. She has that charisma. She has that energy. She was a shot in the arm to Julia Hart and Sky Blue. I love the Triangle of Madness. I think we'll get some Triangle of Madness interference here. And I think Thekla gets the win. Next matchup, the AEW World Tag Team Championship match. This is my most anticipated match on the main card because it does have my favorite singles wrestler in AEW, the current IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, Konosuke Takeshita, and his tag team partner, the current AEW Unified Champion, Mr. Kazuchika Okada. They will be wrestling the tag team of Brodito. Brodito, as I've been very open, has been growing on me. I love their energy as a tag team. You know, I have my old fuddy-duddy thoughts on, you know, us being an established tag team, but as they win more, and not even win more, wrestle more, perform more, they look, that you see them gelling, you start seeing them feel like a tag team, so they are gaining my respect. The one thing I can say about wrestling fandom, as far as Twitter, Instagram, whatever, you need to allow yourself to be pliable. You need to allow yourself to be flexible. You'll need to allow your mind to change. If you get too set in one way, it's you sound angry. And it's just like, I could sit here and say, I'm still mad Brodito's winning, even though I've been enjoying every match they have. Or I can be like, let's be honest. I enjoy Brodito, and I want them to win, and they are winning, kind of thing. So, I mean, and so in this match, I am of the opinion, and if you listen to the show, you know this, we're getting Okada and Takeshita, and I think we're getting it first at, I think we might be getting it first at World's End, and then getting the rematch at Wrestle Kingdom. So, I think the beginning, well, they've been teasing it, but I think the beginning of the split happens, and I either think one of them hits each other and calls the lows. Only thing I can say is I think Takeshita ends up messing up and knocking out.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding Ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time. Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Okada. The reason being is because you don't want the new IWGP World Champion taking a loss in his first match since being the champion. So I'm going with Okada getting pinned by Bandido. And then maybe this leads to Okada-Bandido unified title match. I prefer it being Brody pinning Okada, and then we get Brody versus Okada for the unified title on a Dynamite coming up soon. Maybe even all the way at Full Gear. But, you know, I think we do need to get some big matches back on Dynamite. We need Dynamite to get that energy. We need that banger match energy. Okada and Brody King main eventing a Dynamite. I think that's big match energy. I think that's great match energy right there. Then officially, I went with Brodito to get the win. Then next match, $500,000 match, Young Bucks versus Jurassic Express. I think it's just as much of a slam dunk that Jurassic Express wins this match. Really, their second match back, first as reestablishing the tag team. I think you go with Jurassic Express. There's the Kenny Omega of it all. I think he might have something to do with this match. And I'm hoping he doesn't, you know, screw over Jurassic Express. But we're going to see what happens there. The real thing I noticed on Saturday, Wednesday, and maybe I missed something. It felt like I missed the episode of a show. Because there was the end where the Young Bucks were about to super kick Kenny. And then they decided not to. And Kenny's like, get your guys and all that kind of stuff. It was like the Young Bucks and Kenny didn't want to fight. So maybe they started making up. Maybe I missed this on the episode of BTE. I don't know because I don't really watch BTE. It's not a regular show I watch every week. But it just like that whole what is going on here. Like, because Kenny and the Young Bucks been kicking each other for like a year. So why wouldn't they kick them today? So maybe they're telling some kind of subtle story there. But got to keep us up. I'm a weekly viewer and I had no idea what was going on there, but I'm going with Jurassic Express. Now, I do like the Young Bucks with money. I think it's hilarious. They said they were going to be more financially secure with their money, and it is weird that like this whole money situation. I love storylines in wrestling. I love stories, don't get me wrong, but it's almost like assuming that they don't get a regularly scheduled huge contract. You know what I mean? I'm like, let's take the EVP away. They're still the best tag team in the world. They still work for AEW. So they still should be making a really good salary. So, that's always kind of funny. I'm willing to play along, but I just had to point that out to, you know, like, you should still have money. You still should be rich. I mean, I know it might be that trading places thing, but they never showed like, oh, they lost their money. Apparently, they only lost the money that they had won during that match. So they should still have regular money. Or they should at least say that their wives don't let them spend any money or something like that. And that's why. I don't know. I feel like there's an extra layer that needs to be added there that isn't added there. Or there's an extra layer I would like that no one else cares about. I will allow y'all to pick which one that is. Again, that is the airport announcements. I apologize. Next up, TNT title match, Kyle Fletcher versus Mark Briscoe. This is five. I think this will be my third one that I've been at, and they're always bangers. They're always amazing. Mark Briscoe is a person that I have grown tremendous amount of respect for over the last year. I never thought he was going to be a singles person. I never thought I was going to buy him as a singles person. I thought maybe he'd end up in the trios division. I definitely buy it. I definitely enjoy it. So, but this match, this is the continued elevation of the man known as Kyle Fletcher, who I think will be a true main event figure within the next 6 months to a year. I mean, he was in the main event of a pay-per-view, but I think he will be looked at on that level of Ospreay, MJF, Ospreay, MJF, Hangman within the next 6 months, because he's that. If there's a S tier, he's in the tier A or 1 or whatever that next tier is. He's right there. So going with Kyle Fletcher, this match should be a banger. Chris Statlander, Tony Storm. The only logical thing to go with is Chris Statlander for the AEW Women's Championship. I don't think you want Tony Storm getting ridiculous Charlotte Flair-like numbers on the title. So I think at this point in time, I think she is so made now that I think she can take this loss to Chris Statlander, maybe have some interference or something by anybody else. I know some of you don't like the interference. I love the interference. And then maybe it leads to an epic non-title feud for Toni Storm and someone. Now, I don't know who that would be, but I do think she needs to step away from this division and let Chris Statlander, like one of those people that's been there, like she kind of made her name in AEW, let's see what she has. Let's see if she can carry the division. Because the only way you know if somebody can carry the ball is if you give it to them. So give Chris Statlander the ball, let her go in, let her do her thing. I like the idea of her joining the Death Riders and being an asshole, but that didn't seem to be the way to go, so I don't know. Let's see what happens there. All right, and this is where I will throw in the middle match, the Mercedes Open Challenge for the TBS title. She just broke the record. You know, there's this thing where people, she broke Jade Cargill's record. She'll be at like 5'11 or something today when she has her match. And she said any champion in the world can come and defend her. I think the champion in the world will be Athena. And I think Athena will beat Mercedes and become your new TBS champion and will be your TBS/ROH champion. The only reason I say that, I don't know who else are women's champions in the world outside of the company. I don't know what other titles she can take. I mean, I guess you can go Maple Leaf Pro with Giselle Shaw. But, like, off the top of my head, Red Velvet is technically the co-TNT champion. I don't think they want to do Mina Shirakawa again. I'm thinking it's the only name I can think of. But, again, there's so many titles in this country. It could be anybody. You know, it could be anybody. Hell, it could be Chris Statlander, you know. It could literally be anybody. So I would love to see who it is. Very interested in that. So, and I'm hoping we can get some, you know, maybe an announcement on AEW's women's tag match, but tag tournament or whatever. But in this case, I have no idea. I have no idea who is going to be the only. I went with Athena because it's the only women's champion of note. And I was like, if it's Athena, Athena needs to beat Mercedes and take the belt. And that way, Athena will have two belts. And now Mercedes would be chasing her for her two belts to get from back from 9 to try to get to 11. Because she is Ultimo Monet. But that's just how I see it. We will see how it plays out. Then we have AEW. The way it's listed, this is before it, and it probably makes sense because of how it's presented. But we got the AEW World Championship match. We have Hangman versus Samoa Joe. Hangman's winning. I think it's going to be a good match. If they're smart, they'll keep it right around 20 minutes. I think Hangman basically told you how the match is going to end. It's going to keep going. Samoa Joe's going to keep throwing his best at it. It's not going to be enough. Hangman's going to end up hitting that buckshot lariat and getting the 1, 2, 3. And then moving on to the next opponent, and I'm hoping it's someone that, like, attacks him after this match. I know the world title, but I don't think, for good guys, random heel of the month works. I don't. I think good guys being world champions have to be in feuds. Have to be in feuds. So I do think they should use this to start up something heavy with him. Because the thing about Hangman, I might not have wanted him to be world champion. It's here or there. We're already there. So we need to figure out what we can do to have the most value with him on champion. They put out the documentary. I have not watched it. I don't know that I will. I mean, I've pretty much lived the Hangman story as far as a wrestling fan. I don't know what else it will add to it to make me see it. But I may watch it because, you know, All Things Elite. But yeah, I haven't watched it, but I do know this: there is a serious lack of heat in a men's division. Doing this face versus face thing is cool, but they need somebody to come in there and feud. They need somebody that feels like a real threat to Hangman. Like for a second I thought it was going to be Jay White, because Jay White posted ready, but apparently news came out that he's still going to be out for a while. I guess he was just effing with everybody, which is fine with me, But Hangman needs some heat. And then the last match, the I Quit match, Darby Allin versus John Moxley. Got a bone to pick with this whole thing. So I'm watching the thing on Wednesday. And John Moxley's like, I'm not going to quit. And you're not going to quit, so where are we? Let me remind you that AEW, as I'm sitting here in my AEW is for the Sickos shirt, remind you, the Sickos remember everything. I was at All In. I watched Hangman versus John Moxley. I remember Hangman beat John Moxley by what? Making him tap. What is tapping? Saying I quit. They are literally equivalent. Tapping is to concede. It's to give up, which it means to quit. They are the same thing. So I literally saw Hangman make John Moxley quit. Darby never brings that up. Rewind to the last time John Moxley and Hangman were in a Texas death match. How did that match end? John Moxley quit. So John Moxley quits. He's a quitter. He does say I quit. So my big thing with this was, after John Moxley won the title, I did not understand the point of this feud. Because this is the thing. Darby says, I'm going to take everything from you. Okay? I'm going to represent AEW. I'm going to carry the flag for AEW. Hangman beat John Moxley in July. Hangman made John Moxley quit. Hangman took the AEW title and now represents AEW. What is Darby's purpose? What is he trying to accomplish? Like, seriously, I don't understand. What is he about to do in this match that Hangman hasn't done twice already? I'm like, the Death Riders have no power. They have no titles. They have nothing. So what is he taking away from them? He's like, I'm going to show your group that you quit. They already know he quit. He just quit in July. They were at the show. Again, I love Darby. I want Darby to be great. I'm just like, it feels like you're trying to put the toothpaste back in the tube with this one. It feels like you're trying to, give two scalps away off the same person. It's like, no, you gave Hangman the scalp. Darby needs to move on. I'd rather see Darby in this match against Claudio or a Pac because it doesn't matter. Hangman's already did the thing. Now, again, if this was like a year later and we're talking about Darby and Darby trying to size himself up as a eventual world champion and he has to go through Mox, cool. But this is the next feud for Mox. It's him versus Darby. So, to me, it does not make any sense. I want it to. As a fan, I'm trying to put my spin on it. I'm trying to put my optimistic view on it. But all I can see is this man is doing something that Hangman's already done. So, in this match, I do think Darby ends up making Moxley say, I quit. Cool. The only thing I can see, and this is it, and this is very WWE, this is very much me been watching wrestling for 20 years. Darby and Mox get to the match. Neither one will say I quit. Claudio, Pac, Danny Garcia, blah, blah, blah. Bring down a broken and beaten Sting. They threaten to drop him on his head if Darby doesn't quit. Darby then quits. That's how Moxley wins. But I just think, out of all the comebacks, the coming from the mountain, all that stuff, how does Darby not beat Mox at least once? So in this particular case, I'm going to go with Darby, but I feel like almost makes more sense for Mox to win. Again, I don't like generally when you have these kind of matches, it's supposed to elevate Darby. I don't think him winning elevates him because if you have any decent brain, you've already seen Mox win. So what has Darby accomplished? So the crowd will pop. I'll be there. I'll pop. If you can see me on screen, you'll see me jump up, go, whoa, and say Darby because I want to be a part of the show and I want to enjoy the show, but it doesn't make any sense to me. So we will go from there. That is your Wrestle Dream preview. Quickly as I go through it, I have the Death Riders beating the conglomeration of Roddy Strong, Eddie Kingston and Hook bringing up beating whatever team LFI brings out, but I picked Rush and Jalisco. FTR beating Jet Speed. Of course they're going to cheat because, you know, they cheat. Willow and Harley getting the pin over Megabad. Trios, I got the Hurt Syndicate. I got Thekla beating Jamie Hayter. I have Brodito beating Kazuchika Okada and Takeshita. I have Jurassic Express beating the Young Bucks. I have Kyle Fletcher beating Mark Briscoe. I have Chris Statlander beating Tony Storm. I have Athena being the open challenger for Mercedes and beating her for the title. And then I have Hangman beating Samoa Joe and Darby beating Jon Moxley. So that is your Wrestle Dream preview. I did what I didn't think I could do. This is right under 40 minutes. So I'm going to wrap this up quickly because I think I'm bored soon. But thank you for all that gave me time. Hope you enjoyed this on your Saturday. Enjoy Wrestle Dream tonight. HBO Max in the U.S., Prime in the U.S., Triller TV internationally. Make sure you watch it any way you can. Make sure you're a part of the Social Suplex Discord for the best live chat in wrestling. So there'll be a live AEW thread there that you can watch, that you can talk and do your little watch along and give your thoughts and on it. So that's good. And yes, thank you for listening. As I wrap up, just be nice to people. I say that so much. Because, you know, people are mean sometimes. So just be nice to people. And you know what? It's okay to have favorites in wrestling. And it's okay for them to be your favorite wrestlers. It's okay for you to watch every one of their matches over and over again. It's okay for them to be your comfort thing that gives you comfort. But in the end, and I know people are going to hate them, they are men doing a job. Their job is to be a professional wrestler. It does have a certain level of fan interaction with it, but their job is to be a wrestler. You enjoy watching them perform their job. That's it. That is where the line is with them. I know they're not your friends, they're not your family, they owe you nothing. And I'm not talking about people that are actually friends and family with people. Please, I'm talking about the regular run-of-the-mill fan. They're not your friends. They're not your family. They are people that do something really well that you enjoy. And that is great. Buy your tickets. Buy the merch. Do all that stuff. Go to the sanctioned meet and greets. But please, when they're at their hotel, leave them alone. When they're at their airport, leave them alone. And I know some wrestlers like, yeah, come on up to me. And that's great. But for the most part, read the room. Read the room. If maybe they're just standing there getting coffee, right? And they're not talking to anybody on the phone. And they might not bother you. Might not mind you bothering them. Maybe. But kind of read the room. If you see them with their family, you see them with some headphones on. I saw Keith Lee once at a coffee thing, and he had his headphones on. I doubt he was even listening to anything, but it really didn't look like he felt like being bothered. So we stayed away, and then there was that one guy that came up, and then like Keith Lee's like, no, 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 and he's like acting pissy. He gave you every universal sign that he did not want to be bothered. The scowl on his face, the headset that he had on, he's like focusing on what he's doing. He gave you every sign in the world that he did not want to be bothered. And people, you know, so one guy still went up to him. So I'm saying, do your best. I know some people have social deficiencies where they can't read things. Do your best. But most part, if you have one of those deficiencies, just don't go up to the wrestler. Just don't. For you, that's just not something you can do. Because I would rather you err on the side of not bothering them than, you know, having awkward interaction where you come away feeling bad. It's kind of a situation I'm saying to protect you. This wasn't supposed to go that long, but Dax posted something yesterday and that kind of bothered me. And then early this week, CM Punk posted it and other people posted it. And it's just like, it's probably the same that it's always been. But it feels like because I've seen all these messages, it may be getting out of hand. You see them at the airport. Airport's a stressful situation. Maybe give them a head nod or a wave if you have to acknowledge them at all, and then go about your business. You're at a coffee place or whatever. The best time to meet a wrestler is at their meet and greets. That is the best time. That is time they have set aside to talk to their fans. But I know they don't do as many as they used to, or you got to go VIP. So I understand when you see somebody, if you see Moxley at a Subway, you want to say hi to him or whatever. But keep it short. Keep it simple. If they look like they're in a hurry, let them be in a hurry. And then, like I said, if you can't pick up on the social cues, err on the side of leaving them alone. Literally, if you're wearing an AEW shirt, if you're looking at them and they see you recognize them, I've had wrestlers came over to me. I was in London. I was coming back from All In, and me and my wife were sitting there, and we're in our AEW stuff. Sting came up to us. We weren't even staring at him. I was literally on my headset, or I was talking to her, looking at our phone. Sting came up to us. He's like, oh, I saw you wearing your AEW stuff, and we had a good chat. But the great thing is, I did not bother that man. He came up to me, and I was just like, so I'm not saying that's always going to happen. I'm not saying you have the come hither and talk to me voice or face like I do. Not everybody can be me. No, I'm just kidding. That was a total joke. But seriously, just do your best. That's all I can say. Whether it is home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.